Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Hare Gaur, 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 Hare Gaur.
हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। स्वामी भक्त वृंद की जय। हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं त तदो जयं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके उत्तम श्लोक भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुत पद कमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं भंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनचारणम्। हरे कृष्ण। सो विच इज द वर्स? वर्स 6, राइट? रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 6th canto chapter 4 verse 6, the Hamsa Guhya prayers offered by Prajapati Daksha to Lord Vishnu. Thank you. My vision is not so good, but let me see here. ताभ्यं निर्दह्यमानान् उपलभ्य कुरुद्वः राज उवाच महान् सोमः मन्युम् प्रशमायान इव ताभ्यं निर्दयमानं स्तान उपलभ्य कुरुद्वः। राज उवाच महान सोमो मन्युं प्रशमायान इव ताभ्यं निर्दयमानं स्ताम् उपलभ्य कुरुत्वः। राज उवाच महान् सोमो मन्युं प्रशाम्यन् इव फर्स्ट टाइम ताभ्यं निर्दयमानं स्ताम् उपलभ्य कुरुत्वः। राज उवाच महान् सोमो मन्युं प्रशम्यान् इव ताभ्यं निर्दयमानां स्तान् उपलभ्य कुरुद्वः।
Ma नान्यं प्रशम्याम इवा ताभ्यं निर्दयमानां स्तान उपलभ्य कुरुद्वहा। राज उवाच महान सोमो मन्युं प्रसन्मायाम इव ताभ्यं निर्दयमानां स्तान उपलभ्य कुरुद्वहा। राज उवाच महान सोमो समायान इव ताभ्यं निर्दयमानां स्तान उपलभ्य कुरुद्वहा। राज उवाच महान सोमो मन्युं प्रसमायान इव ताभ्यं बाय द विंड एंड फायर निर्दयमानान बीइंग बर्न्ड थान देम द ट्रीज उपलभ्य सीइंग कुरुत्वः। ओ महाराज परीक्षित, राजा द किंग ऑफ द फॉरेस्ट वाच सेड महान द ग्रेट सोमः प्रीडोमिनेटिंग डीटी ऑफ द मून सोमदेव मन्युम द एंगर प्रसमायान पैसिफाइंग इव लाइक। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Parikshit, when Soma, the king of the trees and predominating deity of the moon, saw the fire and wind burning all the trees to ashes, he felt great sympathy because he is a maintainer of all herbs and trees. To appease the anger of the Prachetas, Soma spoke as follows. I will read the translation also, so the next few verses. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. Verse 7. Verse 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, is the master of all living entities, including all the Prajapatis, such as Lord Brahma. Because he is the all-pervading and indestructible master, he has created all these trees and vegetables as eatables for other living entities. Verse 9. By nature's arrangement, fruits and flowers are considered the food of insects and birds. Grass and other legless living entities are meant to be the food of four-legged animals like cows and buffalo. Animals that cannot use their front legs as hands are meant to be the food of animals like tigers, which have claws. And four-legged animals like deer and goats, as well as food grains, are meant to be the food of human beings. Last one. O pure-hearted ones, your father Prachinibarhi and the Supreme Personality of Godhead have ordered you to generate population. Therefore, how can you burn to ashes these trees and herbs which are needed for the maintenance of your subjects and descendants? I just wanted to at least read till verse 10 so we know what Somadev is speaking to the sons of Prachinibari, Prachetas. And we'll see how many verses we can cover. Purport, verse 6. It is understood from this verse that the predominating deity of the moon is the maintainer of all the trees and plants throughout the universe. It is due to the moonshine that trees and plants grow very luxuriantly. Therefore, how can we accept the so-called scientists whose moon expeditions have informed us that there are no trees or vegetation on the moon? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Somo vrikshadhishtata sa eva vrikshanam raja. Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, is the king of all vegetation. How can we believe that the maintainer of vegetation has no vegetation on his own planet? Make sense? Next purport, verse 7. It is indicated herein that the government or king has a duty of protecting not only the human beings, but all other living entities, including animals, trees and plants. No living entity should be killed unnecessarily. Verse 7. Verse 8. Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, reminded the Prachetas that this vegetation had been created by the Lord of Lords to provide food for everyone. If the Prachetas tried to kill them off, their own subjects would also suffer, for trees are also required for food. This is a little longer purport, 9. But we'll read it anyway. By nature's law, this is the verse 9, where Somadeva is describing what is food for whom. That's the purport we're reading. By nature's law, or the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one kind of living entity is eatable by other living entities. As mentioned herein, dvipadamcha chatuspadaha, the four-legged animals, chatuspada, as well as food, grains, are eatables for human beings, dvipadam. These four-legged animals are those such as deer and goats, not cows, which are meant to be protected. Generally, the men of the higher classes of society, the brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas, do not eat meat. Sometimes kshatriyas go to the forest to kill animals like deer because they have to learn the art of killing, and sometimes they eat the animals also. Shudras too eat animals such as goats. Cows, however, are never meant to be killed or eaten by human beings. In every shastra, cow killing is vehemently condemned. Indeed, one who kills a cow must suffer as for as many years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. Manu Samhita says, Pravritir esha bhutanam nivrittistu mahafala. We have many tendencies in this material world, but in human life, one is meant to learn how to curb those tendencies. Those who desire to eat meat may satisfy the demands of their tongues by eating lower animals, but they should never kill cows, who are actually accepted as the mothers of human society because they supply milk. The Shastra especially recommends Krishi Goraksha. The Vaishya section of humanity should arrange for the food of the entire society through agricultural activities and should give full protection to the cows, which are the most useful animals because they supply milk to human society. Hare Krishna. To Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, Verse 5 through maybe 9, 10. Because of having undergone... Oh, sorry, this is verse 5, 6. My dear King Parikshit, when Soma, the king of the trees and predominating deity of the moon, saw the fire and wind burning all the trees to ashes, he felt great sympathy because he is the maintainer of all herbs and trees. To appease the anger of the Prachetas, Soma spoke as follows. So as we've been hearing here, the Prachetas, they have been asked to perform some service. And one of the services is to the subjects that they have under them, to care for them, protect them. This is a service that they have been asked. So here, Somadev, he is invoking by his speech is invoking the higher nature of these prachetas. So as it is mentioned here in these verses, so these prachetas, they have been performing austerities for a long period of time under the water, and when they come out, they see that all over the land there is vegetation, that is, trees have grown wild. And in that condition, they become enraged. And as Prabhupada explains, when one becomes enraged, angered, then one's intelligence is lost. So here, in that fit of rage, and because they perform these austerities, like in the previous verse we were discussing, they perform these austerities on the strength of which they had mystic powers. So they could breathe fire and wind. And so somehow in that enraged condition, and when one's intelligence is lost in such enraged condition, they decided to use the siddhis or the opulences or the potencies that they acquired to burn down the trees and vegetation. So here Soma, Prabhupada explains here, he is the presiding deity of the herbs and the trees. So this is Krishna's system. Krishna, he is the supreme lord, he is the maintainer and protector of all, right? But then he also invests that potency of protection and maintenance, he vests that in some of his parts and parcels. Like the Vaishnavas, he gives them the full freedom to give bhakti to the conditioned living entities. So similarly, the Supreme Lord, under him, there are different parts and parcels of the Lord. They have specific powers. So here, Soma, he is specifically in charge, one can say, he is given a responsibility for this praja. And it is a duty of the person under whose care there are subjects to look after them, to take care of them. This principle applies anywhere, everywhere. Starting from a small, household, let's say household life. So the father and mother, they may have some dependents, children. So it is their duty to give shelter and protection to them. And of course, not just shelter and protection to their body, but ultimately to the soul. But here, Soma, he is actually just a piece. He'll come to that point later. But right now, he's just talking on the so-called, one can say, even the mundane platform. That is your duty to protect them. Because if you think about it, he's in charge of the herbs and the plants, right? Trees. So of course, not that herbs and plants cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. They can cultivate Krishna consciousness. But it's an exception. So in this condition, the primary duty of the protector is to maintain their body, one can say. And as we understand from the scriptures, there are 8.4 million species of life. Prabhupada explains that so violence is to check somebody's progress on that evolutionary cycle. Unnecessarily checking somebody's life. Because what will happen is they have to come back again to live out that duration. So a living entity, any living entity, should not be prematurely killed. So here this is the Soma, he's appeasing to the prachetas, that part of them, that these are, and so of course, I'm sorry, so these are the subjects in his care, so he's taking responsibility for them. It's not, so in a way it's like he's standing up for them. but if you notice, he's speaking very gently. So in one sense, he is the so-called, mini proprietor over these living entities. But he is not, showing off his proprietorship in an un-Vaishnava way. He's invoking the higher nature of the Pachetas. He's pleading the case for his subjects. At the same time, he's invoking the nature, higher nature of the Pachetas. He's not criticizing them, you fool, you rascal, you foolish. You don't know what you should be doing. But at the same time, he's doing that. So this is important. Protection, in this case, the body, but in a temple environment, there are devotees, there are senior devotees, there is a temple president, there is a temple commander, and there is a hierarchy of even Vaishnavas. So it is a duty of the leader to think about the spiritual welfare of the subjects under him or her. And of course, it happens by cooperation. The devotees that are the living entities, they want that shelter, they want the protection, and the Vaishnava by nature is magnanimous, he or she, they want to give that protection, shelter. So that's one important point here. Because in the previous verse, Prabhupada, and we didn't touch upon it yesterday, Prabhupada, he quotes a very important verse from Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti. Sadhu Sangashtakam. There are 8 verses that glorify the potency of Sadhu Sangha in Kapila Dev's teachings. And one of those verses is, but who is a Sadhu? First, before we understand, before we glorify Sadhu Sangha and understand the glories of that, we should understand who is a Sadhu. So here there are some characteristics of the Sadhu. Titikshava Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shantaha Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanam. So these are the words of a devotee. Previous verse 5 in the purport. So here Soma, he is inviting the higher nature of Prachetas, the Vaishnava qualities that they have. They may not be, they may not be on the Paramahamsa or the pure devotee stage, but they are devotees. Nonetheless, they are performing a service for the Lord. And whenever we receive some service, the Lord also gives us the qualities, the potency required to the service. So they are encouraging his higher, their higher nature. Now, to the purport here. So Prabhupada is writing that it is understood from this verse that the predominating deity of the moon is the maintainer of all the trees and plants throughout the universe. It is due to the moonshine that trees and plants grow very quickly. So Prabhupada has explained this a little bit in the lectures. Typically, when things are ideal, what happens is, Prabhupada explains, that it rains in the night, and there is moonshine also. Of course, the plants, they require both sunlight, rain, and moonshine for their growth. But what happens is, if it rains during the daytime, what typically happens is the sun, it evaporates all the water. But ideally, in Krishna's times and in an ideal world, it rains during the night, so the soil can take all the water, retain all the water, and the moonshine is also there. The plants are thriving, and in the daytime, the sun is also giving them nourishment. So it's a perfect system, Prabhupada explained. And so Prabhupada here is, calling out on the scientists, the so-called moon expeditions. He said these scientists have said that they've gone to the moon, but they didn't find any vegetation. So how can we understand it? Logically, it doesn't make sense. Here is the presiding of the moon, predominating deity of the moon, who is the maintainer of all trees and herbs, and to conjecture that in his, on his planet, there are no trees and herbs. Doesn't add up quite, but so Prabhupada is saying that. Verse 7. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. Purport. It is indicated herein that the government or king has a duty of protecting not only the human beings but all other living entities, including animals, trees and plants. No living entity should be killed unnecessarily. So we talked about this earlier. And Prabhupada would bring this up again and again and again in his discussion with, you know, the government leaders, where they would, or even some of the people, the members in the church, where they would promote, or they would not go, they would not speak against, you know, animal slaughter. They would speak in the favor of not killing other human beings, but animals, they would not have the same compassion, so-called compassion for the animals. But here Prabhupada is writing clearly that no living entity should be killed unnecessarily. So this is important. The human being, his consciousness, his intelligence is more advanced. So that he can cultivate self-realization. That is the idea. Krishna gives that. And if a human being is himself God conscious, then what he can also do is he can also engage the lower life forms in the service of the Lord. So the lower life forms, in a way, they cannot engage in Krishna's service directly. I mean, they are hearing the holy name, like the plants and the trees here. They are engaging in, you know, Shavanam, Kirtanam. They are engaging. And there are exceptions as well. But primarily, they depend on the living entity, on the human beings to engage them in devotional service. So when the scriptures mention that, you know, God gave dominion over man, dominion over lower life forms, it doesn't mean that, you know, we exploit them. They are for our sense gratification. With dominion, obviously dominion means, you know, actually in a lovingly we have to take care of them, protect them, care for them. Not dominate them, but extend them shelter. So these lower life forms, they can be engaged in the service of the Lord, like we see in the Vedic culture. You know, the elephants, these huge elephants, many of these elephants, even till this date in South India, they are used for, you know, carrying the deity. And in this way, they perform devotional service. So on and so forth. The cow gives milk, which is then provided to the deities. And in that way, the cow is engaged in devotional service. Everything for that matter. You know, for example, the sheep and the lamb, they have, you know, fur that can be used, you know, that can be, if Vaishnavas use that, you know, wool, then the Vaishnavas are engaging that lower life form in the service of the Lord. So this is how the human beings can engage even the lower life forms in the service of the Lord. But for that, the human being, they have to be cultivating God consciousness. So both ways the human beings can benefit, protecting the body, one can say, of these living entities, so they can evolve gradually on the evolutionary cycle and then come to a higher life form where they can perform devotional service. And the human beings can also engage the lower life forms in the service of the Lord. In both ways they can benefit. Next verse, verse 8. Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, reminded the prachetas that this vegetation had been created by the Lord of Lords to provide food for everyone. If the prachetas tried to kill them off, their own subjects would also suffer, for trees are also required for food. So I'll tell you a small Prabhupada story. One time Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk, and some Prabhupada, he was always learning. He was very humble, and although he was the world acharya, he would ask some of his disciples, what is this, what is that? He was always learning. So one time he was on a morning walk and he saw some herbs and some plants basically. And he asked the devotee, what is this? And this devotee, Prabhupada specifically asked him, because I think he was into horticulture and all that. So Prabhupada asked him, what is this? And he said, Prabhupada, this is a useless, useless plant. Prabhupada said, you are useless. So he said, nothing is useless in the service of the Lord. There is always, there is a design, there is a purpose. You may not know what the purpose of this plant is. So Prabhupada was very heavy basically with him, that you are useless, plant. And every living entity is a part and parcel of the Lord. It's like the different limbs of the body. You say, there is no significance for this hand. I'll cut this hand off. It doesn't work that way. The Supreme Lord, every living entity is part and parcel. And they have a place in the Supreme Lord's creation. And we, we're limited living entities, may not understand that purpose. Here, that's what he's saying. So, any discussion so far? Comments, questions? Anything anybody would like to share before we go to the next verse? Yeah, look, Prabhu.
Oh yeah.
Hare Krishna. Does that apply to what scientists are doing today, like when they experiment with genetic engineering and different things like that? Like everything has a use, but when there are these genetic experiments going on, where does that fit in?
Okay, so if I understand your question correctly, you're asking the scientists, they are on the pursuit of, genetic reengineering and so on and so forth. And we hear that everything has a use, so then is that also okay to do that? Is that correct? Yeah. Well, Yukta Vairagya principle should be carefully understood and proper rights and applied under the expert guidance of a bona fide spiritual master of a Vaishnava. That's one thing. And when we say everything has a use, as far as possible, we should use that as Krishna has designed it in a natural way. That's the way I understand it, that everything has its natural use. And we should use it in the way Krishna designed it and intended it to be used. Yeah, with our intelligence, we can, make a monkey talk and so on and so forth. But is that the nature as the Lord intended it to be? That's one thing. The second is the motivation. I think we've been hearing this. Motivation. What is the motivation? And in many, many cases, the scientists, they are atheistically driven. So it's their own God project. In the name of, finding, the cure for something or this or that, they're also in a way, they are also, what they are also doing, some of them explicitly, some of them may not be explicitly, but implicitly it happens. So they are encouraging people to good, put faith in science and advancement, and that replaces many times the faith in God. So one has to understand these things properly. That's something I wanted to say. Anybody else would like to add to that question? On this question or something else?
On this question.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Since they're genetically modifying the plants, I'm just adding to your point, is they're trying to change the ultimate gift which has been given by God to a particular living entity, to a different way. So it's like killing them, in one sense. So it's totally wrong what they are doing, right? So in one sense, they are opening a slaughterhouse for plants also, like animals. Now they're opening a slaughterhouse for plants also. They're trying to genetically modify by pouring the chemicals on the plant, trying to make them attractive, which is harmful to the plant as well as animals, which cannot be offered to Krishna purely. So it's one type of killing. So is it right?
Yeah. Anyway, this is a hot topic. We can, yeah. When we stray away from God, I mean, it begins with a slight deviation. Then it, you know, you deviate further, we deviate further. So the scientists' pursuits in this direction, why are they coming in the first place? Why are they there in the first place? Follow. So most likely, 100%, there is some religious principle that should be followed, which is not being followed, because of which we are getting a reaction, and we are trying to actually see how we can deal with the reaction now. And then Prabhupada explains, but then there is a problem, and you offer a material solution that creates so many other problems down the line. Yeah, so these adjustments, in a way, they will never end. Yeah. For one adjustment, one has to make another adjustment, and then the next adjustment. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
Thank you for class, Prabhu.
Hare
Krishna. There are so many issues regarding the scientific modification of living entities. And, you know, we all know about Monsanto creating corns that don't produce seeds.
Yep.
McDonald's modifying cows so that they aren't even, they're just machines producing milk in great pain. And when they don't produce any more milk, even though they're alive, they're just dumped in a pile, you know, to die miserably. And the list goes on and on. Are these things that we as devotees respond to try to protest? Are they things that we approach through prayer? Are they things we just entrust to the Lord? What is our response?
Very good question. Prabhupada mentioned that our movement is a movement of training and education. So, like for example, recently when I was in Indore, I mean in India, some of the devotees, Prabhupada wanted us, you know, cow protection, especially cow protection. So the simple answer to your question is, we are limited living entities. So we cannot be concerned, in a way, we cannot be concerned with each and every living entity. So for some, we may have to just pray. For some, we may have to pray and do something also practically. And in this case, Prabhupada is saying, let's seek our protection. So not just pray, but then do something practically as well. So these devotees, they are, you know, they're going into the villages and they are, you know, training and educating them. Like in even India nowadays, for example, the cows that, even in India nowadays, the Jersey cows, they are more prevalent, more and more, because they can give more milk, you know. So anyway, so there is, you know, crossbreeding and so many things are happening basically. But there are places where when cows are given, you know, proper care and attention, they are giving, you know, gallons and gallons of milk. So there is a place in India where they have, you know, more than 100,000 cows. And they are showing how to do that. So it has to be there, so there has to be training and education on a, you know, small scale basis. So some of these villages that we are approaching, we are telling them that we'll give you a cow, you just take care of it nicely, we'll buy the milk from you, we'll offer it to the, you know, temple. So that's the idea basically. So go into the villages and train and educate them about, you know, cows. And so this, so coming back to the other point, where these cows that were giving, you know, so much milk, so they express that there is a term called go dohan. So the cow has four udders, right? You have noticed there are four udders. So traditionally, it is called go dohan because two of those udders are reserved for the calf. And the two of the udders is where the cow, the milk is taken. And after the calf is nourished, then it is given, you know, for others. So they have been following that principle for almost, you know, 20, 30 years. And so this gentleman was sharing, those cows that were nourished like that in their childhood by their mothers, and they protected them that way, when it comes to their, they have to give milk, they are giving profusely. There's no shortage. So you follow, Sanis, so coming back to your point. So there is a, you know, way to take care of the cows. You stray away from that, and then so the milk production goes down. Oh, but then you say, oh, but this cow, you know, is giving more milk. So let me get that cow, or, you know, crossbreed this or that. But we will not fix the original issue. Anyway, so that's all. So to come back to your question, purposes, our main aim of the society is to cultivate God consciousness, like this beautiful verse in fifth canto, Swasti astu vishvasya kalaha prasidatam. Dhyayanto bhutani shivam mithodiya manasya bhajaram bhajata dadokshaje abeshyatam namatir api ahetuki. He says, Swasti astu vishvasya. Let there be all auspiciousness in the whole world. Kalaha prasidatam. Let the influence of, you know, quarrel and hypocrisy and kali, let it subside. But how will that happen? Bhagavatam says very clearly, it begins, Manascha Bhadram Bhajata Adhokshaja. When one actually begins to worship Adhokshaja, then actually one is thinking about everybody's welfare. So Prabhupada encouraged us, this is our marga, Bhagavat marga, where we preach Krishna consciousness, and within the umbrella of Krishna consciousness, I mean, the basic principle, one of the basic principles of, you know, pillars is non-violence. It is included in Krishna consciousness. You know, So this verse is talking about how one, when one worships, you know, Krishna, or when we teach others to worship Krishna, let alone forget about exploiting others, they will actually begin to think about the welfare of all living entities. And in that way, there will be auspiciousness all over the world. So what one could do is this. Prabhupada also explains this. So in a way, we have our bread and butter, Krishna consciousness. So we stay focused on that. But, and we can, you know, we can guide these organizations. You follow? These organizations, that is their mission basically. They want to protect, let's say somebody says they want to protect, you know, whatever. You know, PETA for example. You know, ethical treatment of animals. So we are, like we are the brahmanas, one can say, we are giving direction to these organizations. You know, so that way we can work with them and educate them, so we don't have to, and we can stay focused on the Sankirtana Yajna, and we are giving direction to everyone actually. The Vaishnava, he is giving direction to everyone. That makes sense what I'm saying? Glenn, you want to add something? Or yeah. So all, pray, practically do what we can. And as I said, since summarizing, since we are limited, our attention should go, it's not, again, we're not like partial, oh, why only cow protection and not, no, a Vaishnava actually, we are saying none of the living entity should be killed. So it's not we are partial. Our heart only goes to the cows. So we will do this and we will educate, you know, and train people in Krishna consciousness. By which, like Mrigari, they will not even hurt an ant. What to speak about, you know, animal killing. Mrigari, who was, you know, mercilessly leaving animals half killed, so his spiritual master, you know, was amazed that he would not even step on an ant. Yeah. So this is why devotees, we don't involve ourselves in, you know, protests and so on and so forth. But in a way, we have an appreciation. Oh, okay, somebody is, you know, albeit, you know, their conceptions may or may not be completely, you know, right. So from their vantage point, they're doing. Like Prabhupada mentions, even in the Vedic culture, you know, there is, you know, those people that hospital, that, you know, plant trees and open hospitals and dig wells and so on and so forth. We don't say, boo, you know, you don't know, this is just, you know, you're just taking care of the body. But then, in a way, if you look at it in a broad-minded way, great. So I can stay focused on this, and let me, and how can we, if we criticize them, how can we expect to, you know, give them guidance? So in a way, we have to appreciate them, not losing our focus and sort of, you know, jumping into their stuff, but really genuinely appreciate them and extend a hand, and this is great, you know, and cooperate with them. Leave, so in a way, let them do that, you know, and we can provide them support and we stay focused. Thank you, Harish. Yeah, Rakta. Radharaman Rao.
Hare Krishna. The genetically, you know, modified...
Going back, okay.
The genetically modified, like, boga that devotees get and then offer it to the deities, is it totally accepted by the deities? The boga... You know, and it's all like genetically modified. Does the deities accept it in the same way as it would if it was untampered with?
Look, that's something to say. Go ahead. No. Yeah.
I would like to wait for you to reply to the question also.
Say that again?
I'd like to wait for you to reply to the question also.
Repeat the question.
I was saying... I could share something, but first I would like to hear your reply.
Well, this is a nice question. There are instances in scriptures where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as a devotee, I don't remember his name, but he would travel, you know, like miles to get the best coconut for his deity, Raghava Pandit. Damayanti and Raghava Pandit. He wanted to get the best for the deity. Okay, that's one. Srila Prabhupada also, however, told us that this is the age of Kali, especially when it came to milk. You know, milk. In the last, around the same time, a little earlier, His Holiness Dhanavir Goswami Maharaj was here. And then this topic came up about milk. You know, knowing that so much goes on with the cows, what should we do? Should we take milk? Should we not take milk? There is, you know, should we offer it to the deities? And his answer was, well, Srila Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya. Even back then, he knew all that was going on. And he said, well, in Kali Yuga, you make the best out of the bad bargain. What do you do? And in fact, as His Holiness Dhanavir Goswami Maharaj said, in fact, if you don't offer those cows milk, more than likely they will be even slaughtered earlier than later. So we can get, for example, there are some devotees I know that they will get milk from Gita Nagari. Yeah, but is that practical for us? Gita Nagari, the farm community, they are providing milk at least to some, that was their idea, to provide milk to some temples like nearby, like New York and Detroit and so on and so forth. That's ideal. Not only cows that are ethically treated, but they are raised on a Vaishnava farm community. That's ideal. You know, and then there is, you know, there is organic. But again, you know, this is a hot topic. But there is, there is organic milk. But again, there also, in some cases, in most cases, there is this, still the separation of the calf and the mother. You follow? So in a way, the sadness and the pain of that separation, it is downloaded in the milk. And we are drinking that. So milk is supposed to be like, you know, soul food, but we are drinking it, and how come, you know, there is so much depression, this, that, and all that. So there is ideal, and there is, you know, what we do in the age of Kali. So as far as possible, we should, you know, offer the best thing to the deities. Nectar of Devotion also mentions. And then there are, again, practicalities. But we should definitely check the labels, you know, before we buy things. I'm sure that happens here in the temple, right? Like the cheese that we buy, we make sure it doesn't have, you know, stuff. So we're doing, I think, all we can to provide the best possible things to the deities. Look like that.
Thank you, Prabhu. I appreciate it very much. Especially the past time you shared about the devotee getting the coconut.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that one. I was just thinking of the incident where Hiranyakashipu tried to poison Prahlad. And if I remember correctly, he just offered it to Vishnu and then drank it down. Problem. No harm, you know. So that's poison. So we can understand that whatever ill substances or ingredients or effects that have been, you know, caused by the different things going on, that by offering it, it's completely purified of whatever, even health issues that would come up through these different things. It's completely removed by the devotion of the cook and the offer, the pujari. So,
yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Radha Raman Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. On this topic of bhoga in today's situation, in so many purports of we read that it is the love with which bhoga is offered that is the most important part, and their lordships, they take love out of it and add the mercy which we honor as prasadam. So there are certain things on which we have control. There are certain things on which we have no control. So if whatever is in our control, if we do try to do that in the best possible way, we could make their lordships happy. Yes, one way of understanding, my way of understanding things. Yes.
That's correct. Yeah, after all, as you're saying, the Supreme Lord, he doesn't need rasagullas or gulab jamuns or whatever. He is saying, here I'm eating, I'm tasting your bhakti. That's what he's hungry for. Yeah.
The other is a question. While we are reading the purport and later on also in your explanations, you mentioned that we should kill other living entities prematurely, or we should not kill them, etc. But we also hear that, you know, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. So in other words, if some living entity is being killed, that has the sanction of Krishna. So it is sometimes hard to understand it, because so many killings are taking place, we can just simply say, oh, Krishna wants that to happen, so let it happen. Or, you know, we shouldn't be a party to it.
Yeah, you're right. So, anything, we have to look at it. There are different planes at which we can look at it from, basically. Yeah. And some of these things that otherwise don't make sense, you know, the complicated law of karma, that explains, that provides an explanation sometimes. So there are, you know, different, you know, planes from which we look at things and reconcile. Yeah, you're right. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. I can't hear.
Go ahead. Is the mic on?
Given the laws of karma and the action reactions of killing an animal, why then is it stating that animals with four legs are meant to be food for human beings?
Can you?
Why is it, given the laws of karma and the reactions for killing an animal, why is it suggesting that animals with four legs can be eaten by human beings?
Nice question. So, given the laws of karma, it's repeating the question. Why is there an allowance for human beings to eat four-legged animals like deer and goat here, you're saying? The Vedic scriptures, they have to be relevant for all the living entities. And then different living entities, different human beings, specifically since you're saying human beings, different human beings, they have different levels of consciousness again. So depending on the level of their consciousness, the Vedic scriptures, they allow for the gradual upliftment for everyone, of everyone. Like here also in the purport, when you read, Prabhupada writes that typically Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they don't engage in eating meat. But some classes of human beings may have that inclination, right? So then the Vedic scriptures, it allows for that. But then, again, as Prabhupada also mentions here, according to the Vedic scriptures, there is a specific way also of doing it. Yeah. Like here, Prabhupada gives the example, the Kshatriyas, they would go and hunt the animals. And then some of them would eat that. But it doesn't allow like mass slaughterhouses like how it is done now. That is, the Sanskrit word is also like mamsaha for meat. It's called mamsa. Right? So mamsa also comes from, so typically when the goat, here the goat is that is being talked about. According to the Vedic scriptures, there is a ritual that goes. It's a very stringent, you know, there are rules basically that, you know, once a month on this particular night, so on and so forth, outside the village, you take the goat to this, you know, place, temple, and so on and so forth. And before you, you know, slaughter the goat, you whisper in the ear of the goat, Mam Saha. That means, as you're saying, as I'm doing unto you, you can do unto me, or I will face the same. So a person who is conscientiously doing it, wow, do I want to do this? I don't think so. So sooner or later, the light, you know, goes on. So it's like the Pravritti Marga. In simple terms, there is like the Pravritti Marga and the Nivritti Marga. Pravritti Marga is the gradual, you know, upliftment of people, and giving them some allowances, giving them some licenses in a religious way, performing that. And then they still have to, of course, reap the consequences, definitely. But part of the ritual is they understand that there is consequence. But right now, nobody understands that. The meat just comes to your table, that's all. So nobody even wants to, actually everybody knows, because of Pita and so on and so forth, there is so much awareness now. But people just turn a blind eye. They don't want to, I don't want to see all that stuff. You know, but any right man, if he sees that, many people have said, after I saw it, no, that's it. Not doing that anymore. So the Vedic culture, there was this personalism was there. So like somebody had this, you know, I guess lower desire, one can say. So there is an allowance for fulfilling that lower desire. But at the same time, when they come in contact with the Vedic scriptures or, you know, the priests, they are also uplifted gradually by that. So, yeah, so there is a consequence. So they are not absolved of the consequence. But because they are following, I guess, supremely, in a way, it's like just using this principle. Sometimes a spiritual master, he doesn't give us an instruction, strong instruction to a disciple. Why doesn't he not give an instruction to disciple? He doesn't give an instruction to disciple because the disciple may not follow. And if the disciple does not follow, then it becomes guru avagya, becomes an offense actually. So he may just give a recommendation. He will not give a stringent instruction. So here in this case, these living entities will anyway do it. They have this desire, they will anyway do it. But somehow or the other, if the Lord is giving them a sanction, and they do it in this particular way, they're at least they're not going against the Lord. Which again is an act of compassion, actually. That Christ, the Supreme Lord, he gives this, gives the allowance, but he says, you know, but do it this way. And in that, there is some protection. That's the way I understand it. Yeah, and of course it doesn't absolve them of the karmic. Yeah, they still have to. Like Mamsaha, as I do to you, it'll happen to me. That good? Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Anyone? 8:40. So should we end here? So we covered text 6, 7, 8. Yeah, we covered a little bit of verse 9, but somebody can pick it up from there. You know, verse 9, where we read the translation of how different animals, different living entities are food for different living entities. Yeah, as Krishna says. Okay, so thank you all very much. Have a wonderful Krishna conscious day. Hare Krishna. अनशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासन्धुभ्यः एव च